Hello and welcome to the Unfit Pundit. We're back after a kind of interesting international break. Not many stories out of it, but we are going to talk about one thing that has happened, which was Gonzalo Higuain's retirement from international football. But before that, I am, of course, your host, Alex Kaufman, and we were joined by our esteemed panel of Twitch Streamer of the Year, Ryan Delmonte.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, there, that's Ryan.
He decided to stream League of Legends today.
Yeah, it's finally stellar.
Yeah, finally started working. I'm happy.
That was crazy.
It was a very fun watch. You guys should go check him out at Stellar Sun on twitch.tv. Yeah, and then a man who probably needs a introduction everywhere he goes, Tyler Kaufman.
Might be right.
I've never heard of that. That's a pretty good one.
And then a man who needs no introductions. Boss Talker's owner. He's dropped out of becoming a full-time drummer to become a Boss Talker's owner. John Del Monte. Or John Del Monte, yeah. John Del Monte.
John Del Monte.
John Forrester.
Ryan's long-lost brother.
John, have you thought about franchising Boss Tacos? I'm really getting interested.
Guys, don't you remember? Don't you remember I sold it?
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot. You're on to bigger and better things, right?
Yeah.
And so is Gonzalo Higuain as he retired from international football. Something that, well, he's 31 now, 32. He's getting up there. He's having some trouble with fitness and in the Premier League. So it's not that surprising, but when we were having our little conversation about this in the group chat, we had a dividing opinion from Ryan and John about, is Gonzalo Higuain an Argentinian legend? He's got 31 goals across 67 caps. Is that correct? No, 31 goals over 75 caps. Obviously, they never won anything under him. They've always been runner-up. He lost the 2014 World Cup, technically, because he missed a chance right at the end there. But Ryan believes he's still a legend. Ryan, do you have anything to say for yourself?
Well, I just thought he was better than what John made him out to be.
Okay. And what did John make him out to be? Let's get your side of this.
He made him out to be someone who was worthless for the Argentina national team. And I said that that's false.
John, do you have anything to add?
If I remember correctly, we were doing that over text, and it's kind of hard to convey emotions over text, so you're just assuming that I was making him out to be a bad guy.
Whoa.
I wasn't trying to make him out to be a completely bad guy.
Completely.
I'm just saying that I feel the passion in the Argentinian supporters. They have all of this, the star-studded team, and they do well all the way up until the final, and then they just choke. And I know they're sick and tired of it, and they're kind of, going over and beyond a little bit on some things.
Pause. Wait, can we pause here?
We cannot pause here. Shut up.
Any of this. Hey, why are you talking about the supporters? We're talking about just about Higuain.
Let it be known that John said,
getting there.
Who cares about Higuain retiring? He never did anything anyway.
All right. Well, before we started recording, y'all told me to come up with something. All right.
While you're going around, you're like freaking Michael Scott of The Office.
Just stop. Just stop. I'm trying to prove my point. Okay. So.
All right. Sure.
I get the frustration that they're giving, and I just feel that over the last how many years that they've gone to finals and not succeeded, Messi's been there, Aguero's been there, Higuain's been there. I forget the other one, but whatever. That's besides the point. But I just don't think that he should have gotten the, I just don't think he should have gotten all the praise that he got when he retired.
Okay, so let me put it to you this way real quick. Most goals right now, top scorer for Argentina. You want to take a guess?
Not Lionel Messi, Kepa.
Wow. So Lionel Messi, 65 goals. Second is Gabriel Bautista with 54 goals. Third, Aguero, 39. Hernan Crespo, really? 4.
I didn't know Aguero was third.
Yeah, well, he's a lot of he's had a lot of years. And he, remember, he was started for a little bit ahead of Higuain.
That's true. But he probably has, it's like overbuilt over like friendlies and qualifications too, right?
Because I mean, 89 appearances.
Tournaments.
Yeah, 89 appearances. So.
Yeah.
Hernan Crespo, 4, 35. Dado Maradona, 34. Gonzalo Higuain, 31. The difference is Higuain, it took 75 appearances for 31. Maradona, 91 appearances for 34. Hernan Crespo was way better. 64 appearances, 35 goals, but
Hernan Crespo was a beast of a man.
Right. So, I mean, I can see, because he didn't lead him to lead any,
I mean,
any glory, I mean, to, I mean, Argentina. Go ahead.
My argument was to make, was that he didn't complete it, he didn't finish it, and I don't know. That's all.
Can I bring up a piece of evidence to the pile? How John said, "I don't think Messi is a great international player either." Is that controversial?
Does it go back to, is it that Argentina hasn't had the best of talent throughout these years? Maybe they're just kind of giving it to Messi and hoping he does something.
I mean a little bit, but I can't say that the only thing. I mean, their attack's always, you know, their attack's always been great. Their midfield has kind of lacked, but at this, you know, in the last couple tournaments, I wouldn't say that their midfield was terrible. I think their problem was the defense,
the midfield's pretty bad last.
Yeah, I think anything other than the forwards have all been mediocre at best. You know, like looking at like the defenders in the World Cup, it's like you have Zabaleta, Marcus Rojo, Di Michaelis. Midfielders were Mascherano. Augusto Fernandez, Maxi Rodriguez.
Yeah, but wait a second. Let's back up. Marcus Rojo had the tournament of his life, the World Cup that they are in the finals. That earned him Man U. He was one of the best players.
One defender can't carry the whole team, though.
Yeah, but and Mascherano was still playing really well at center back.
Really well? I mean, he was okay.
I wouldn't say the whole team was at peak performance, though.
No. But it was pretty. But like that was a good team. The World Cup final one I'm talking about specifically.
Right.
The following year was complete and utter trash.
Right. So, anyway, John, what?
I was gonna say I think that all of this usually is a result too of, I think, poor management of players as well.
Right, and that's a whole other.
I think that's not Messi's fault. That's just
that, and there's just not enough talent coming through Argentina anymore.
No, because
they care less and less. So, but anyway, let's move on, because you know John just thinks Higuain's a fraud, so it's okay. It's all right. Yeah,
the man was a fraud.
Some of the best teams in the world.
No, we're just joking.
The club debate is different than the international debate. Those are two totally different things.
I feel like you would say similar things about his club life too.
No.
All right. Well, so he's gonna score Chelsea's last goal
up in Italy.
So he's gonna score Chelsea's last goal to get him to top four, right?
No. Oh, that now. I mean, we're not talking now.
He's not magic, but. Yeah. But speaking of top four, the race has heated up a little bit. We have obviously one and two are gonna be. That's going to be a race in itself, who gets the title. That's just still on City. Anyone change?
That's just still on City.
Liverpool.
Yeah. I can't change now.
Okay, so, but top three or three and four spot, those are very much still up for grabs, with Spurs on 64 points after a loss at Anfield and actually a win in their new stadium. Did you guys enjoy the stadium? Enjoy all the...
Beautiful, man.
It's big.
It's kind of insane. Oh, it's like Allianz Arena looking, but probably even better than that in terms of what's going on inside.
Well, Well, hey, you know what? No, I didn't, because I support a better team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice stadium. It's pretty big.
You want to use as your reasoning for not watching like a video to see it.
62,000 people.
That's well, it reminds me of the Wanda Metropolitano, the new Atletico one. It's just massive. It's just a big ring. There's so many lights. It was beautiful. I love the camera angle. Did you guys see the camera angle? I don't know. It's a weird thing, but like...
Yeah, I did see it. It's nice.
I like it was zoomed out, kind of big. You can kind of see a lot more of the pitch.
Yeah.
The pitch is top-notch.
Well, of course, yeah. And it actually has a little bit of... did you notice it has a little bit of Old Trafford field? It kind of slopes downward.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, because then the pitch can actually retract into the ground, and then they can pull up... new pitch for like when the NFL comes, when they want to host stadiums. It's gonna be like a multi-venue arena.
Yeah.
So, kind of just a little fun fact there, but yeah, it was huge. The navy blue wall instead of the yellow wall looked nice. But with that first win in the stadium, do you think that this is gonna become kind of a platform for Spurs to, you know, cement their spot in the top three? I mean, obviously they have still Man City to go with, and Arsenal and Man U or Chelsea don't have quite as difficult of a schedule. But is this something that Spurs can use as kind of a springboard?
It's a possibility. It's definitely a possibility. Right now, I feel that since our schedule is a little easier and since we have a game in hand, we might be able to get some extra points on you guys, possibly.
Who is but, we? You know, that's all. Sure everybody knows that's listening. Who is we?
Arsenal.
Knows? Arsenal.
I mean, I think everybody knows that by now.
I mean,
you have new listeners, man. You gotta be
listeners don't know, yeah. Gotta be inclusive.
All right, I'm
Arsenal's
sorry.
Not the, Arsenal's not apologize. The best club in the world, man.
That is true. They
saying,
are not.
I'm not saying they are.
That's Ajax. Come on. What are you...
Ajax, yeah.
I don't care. They're bossing it right now, but that's besides the point.
So you bring up Arsenal. Arsenal's got Palace, Wolves, Leicester, Brighton. Brighton, who are battling for relegation right now. Burnley, who are also battling for relegation. And that's their final game.
If you're looking at strength of schedule, Arsenal does technically have one of the easiest strength of schedules left.
I think it's deceptive, though. That's
I was going to say.
Is it deceptive? It is. I mean, how good is...
fighting for relegation. If they're fighting for relegation, they may be playing harder than they ever have to try to stay in the league.
I understand.
Two sides fighting for relegation, and Wolves, who just beat Man United.
Like, I think Wolves will be the toughest one, absolutely.
Well, yeah, Wolves is definitely going to be possibly our downfall.
Leicester could be a tough one.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. I mean, but we demolished them earlier in the season.
But the fact that Tottenham still plays Man City and Chelsea still plays Man United and Liverpool, theoretically, Arsenal has the best chance of making even third place, let alone top four.
Well, we have to remember Chelsea are still in Europa right now, and that's going to be kind of tied into. I mean, they are, ironically, they are rotating a little bit more. We saw Ruben Loftus-Cheek and Callum Hudson-Odoi did their debut. Or not Callum Hudson-Odoi did his debut, and Ruben Loftus-Cheek finally did a start at the weekend.
A massive goal.
I still think they were very lucky to beat Cardiff that game. Cardiff definitely deserved at least the point of that game. The
Brighton?
March 31st game.
No, yeah. That game definitely. That was an offside
goal. So I think the way Chelsea's been playing, I don't think, like, besides like Brighton's whatever, you know, and Cardiff surprisingly came out a lot better than I thought they would. So I don't think Chelsea's as consistent to be maybe fighting for like a third or fourth spot.
But I mean, they are on level with points. With Arsenal, only a point away from Spurs. I mean, and Man U, we saw slipped up. Maybe the kind of Ole magic has simmered down a little bit, kind of fallen by the wayside.
It's more like the Nuno Espirito magic is continuing to amp up.
Well, but I mean, Man U's been losing.
They beat all the big teams. They play well. Have you seen their record against big teams? They've beaten like every big team this year.
No, I'm not saying Wolves. I'm saying Man United have been losing in recent weeks, and they're kind of you know, just not getting the results they need. I'm trying to find the.
But as you famously talk about.
Oh no.
Everybody has their downward period. They may be experiencing it now at this point with their new manager. As they're
right, figuring but this out. Is the worst. This is the worst time to experience it, isn't it?
Yeah, but they also got him at the worst time of the season.
All I'm saying is that 2 weeks ago, Arsenal beat them. That's points dropped. Now Wolves beat them. They skinned by Watford. Who's to say, you know, they face Barcelona next. So then after that, be tired, some tired legs. West Ham. I mean, West Ham's not that much to worry about, but just there. Yeah, but they're just, on their day.
This could be like a downward spiral for them, honestly.
Right, and that's what I'm thinking. They also play Chelsea still.
They have a tough ring of games coming up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying. I was just saying, like, give them a little bit of a break. But that was it.
So, but are we? What, John?
I was gonna say if I can go back to if I can go back to Spurs real quick. I'm not gonna trash you. I'm just gonna give constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism.
No, just looking at the schedule, their next game is Man City in the Champions League, and then they have a warm down game with Huddersfield, but then have to play Man City again right after.
Two more times. Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got two easy games, Brighton and West Ham. And then Bournemouth, Everton. But I just think that run of games right there, having to play City three times in about a 2 week span, is going to kill you guys.
That could be an emotional breakdown. Your morale killer. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay, but
there you go.
New stadium just opened. And we got to remember, Chelsea still have Liverpool, they have two legs of Europa. They have Burnley, who's fighting for relegation, and they have Man U.
All right, well, let me ask you this question. Who do you think gets the third spot?
I personally, this is no bias at all. I think the stadium and kind of the excitement for these next 3 or 4 weeks is going to get to Spurs.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Going to boost them.
Sorry.
And then I
the pages.
Why?
I don't know. You said the stadium, and I said, oh, the Emirates, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely. But I do think Arsenal, because they have such an easier schedule than the other three, I think they can get that fourth spot. I do think they slip up against Wolves. And maybe that propels them. If Spurs don't get a result at the Etihad, then, Arsenal can easily skip over them. But
also, can I point out, Spurs have a history of losing against teams who made it into relegation at the end of a season. So...
Are you trying to say Newcastle?
Again.
It's one time.
That was pretty bad.
That's one time.
And no, it's happened more than once.
But they had the best midfielder.
A preponderant amount of times. That's Sissoko.
Yeah, they had Sissoko. Newcastle had Sissoko, who's the best midfielder in the Premier League. You can't blame that.
That's the best midfielder in the Premier League.
Probably the best midfielder that missed an open goal.
Wow. Well, yeah, I want to get your guys' opinion on that. Did you think Van Dijk was like... Like, do you think that was an amazing thing to do, or is that something that like Lovren could have done, or heck, even Mustafi? Well, maybe not Mustafi, but Koscielny. Do you think he would be able to? All he had to do was block Sun off, because Sissoko never wanted to shoot.
What he had to do, but it was the instinct to do it in a high pressure situation, and he's also a really big dude. And it's like the whole intimidation factor that he's the best center back in the world, and you have him like literally guarding you. The pressure. I mean, mm-hmm. I thought that was like the stuff that makes you the best center back.
All right, you're talking about his like left footed strike way over the bar.
Yeah, yeah, against Liverpool.
Oh, God, that was awful.
80th minute. No, but Van Dijk. I mean, he defended it very well.
How would you not pass that ball?
Well, he was trying to, and the point was Van Dijk defended. He basically marked Sun and then pushed Sissoko to his left foot.
Yeah, and so that was
they were taking. Oh, it was very smart. But I'm saying people were saying like, oh, that's why he's the best in the world. That's why he's, you know, the second coming of blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I think if you're just a really good defender, you know, like, what to do there. Like, right, you practice for the players that you're playing against, so you know, like, oh, his left foot's not that good. All I have to do is block Son, put him on his left foot, and he's going to miss. Or at least my keeper should be good enough to save it.
Right. So that's, you guys are saying that's something that any defender in the top six should probably be able to do.
Top four.
I don't think so. I think there's only a few center backs in the league that would have been able to pull it off how he did it.
Van Dijk, Vertonghen.
No, I think you're taught to block the pass.
Vertonghen, like, for a while, yeah.
Push the person to the outside. I think that's pretty standard.
Yeah, right.
I think top flight defenders should be able to do that.
Like, space in between.
Right, but what are you going to do? You don't want to tap in, so you mark the guy who can tap it in. It's not rocket science.
I guess.
you marked the 17 goal a season guy, not the zero one goal in.
Like a John Stones wouldn't have been able to pull it off.
No, I think John Stones is a very good defender. I don't know what you're talking about there.
I don't think he would have been able to do it how Virgil did it, like a keeper.
I think actually John Stones would have attacked the ball and would have gotten the ball from him. He's a little bit quicker.
You're just sucking his cock, aren't you, Tyler?
Virgil.
We make it on to why Tyler likes Van Dijk later on in the podcast. So stay tuned. Meanwhile, I think we should also talk about relegation. We had two teams leave us. Very sadly.
Hit F's in the chat. Respect.
Yeah, respect for the one and only Huddersfield.
Oh, terrible.
Two seasons in the Premier League. I mean, say what you want. They stayed up against all odds. But they knew from probably before January that they were going down. Anything you guys wanted? Any moments you guys enjoyed with Huddersfield?
Not one?
Not anyone?
I wish I had one.
Steve Mounier early on. Couple of goals banged in.
The potential of Steve Mounier.
Yeah, the potential of Steve Mounier. Then he got hurt. Then he kind of left.
The portrait that they gave us.
You know where I think he would do really well at? You guys are going to laugh.
Don't say it.
The MLS.
Oh, I wasn't thinking. I thought you were going to say like Bournemouth when Callum Wilson leaves.
No. The MLS. I think you'd do really well in the MLS. I think you should go.
Is there anyone on that team that you guys would pick up for, or if you were a side, you know, a mid table team, would you pick up anyone from that Huddersfield side?
Aaron Moy, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
I would say Aaron Moy.
I think Arsenal could get him cheap. Why not just have him as another rotation player?
I think Bakuna's alright.
He's a guy. He's a guy.
Like, I think he's okay. Like, he's not horrible. He's young. Bakuna's young.
I mean, I always thought Chris Love would look really well.
Yeah, Chris Love. Isn't it Love?
Love, sorry, yeah. Chris Love. I thought Chris Love was great. Philip Billing, I think, is really good. Norwegian guy.
I think their backline's whatever.
He's solid. Yeah. But nothing else. There's not, like, a ton of pieces on this team. Like, there's some, you know, in the past, there's been some relegation teams that have some pieces that are worth, like, rating. This one's not really one.
Right. I think Philip Billing actually could be. He could actually improve a team like Everton or something, kind of, because he had a really good passing range. You know, obviously a big guy that 6'4", but he was really agile still. I think he might be one that might be off to bigger and better things. But
and Punchin's gonna be happy to be off loan finally.
Or who?
Punchin.
Oh yeah, poor guy.
Danny Williams, someone pick him up, man.
He hasn't played much. Been injured.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
He needs to get back. He needs to go to Swansea or something. Join his fellow American on Swansea. He's having a fantastic season.
Cameron Carter-Vickers?
Yeah. Most completed passes in the league. By a defender.
Say much. I don't think he's that good still.
And his manager says he's like one of the best players on the team.
He's a great championship player. I don't think he'll ever be better than that, sadly. But you just talked about teams who were way better, who probably should have performed way better and kind of went down despite having so much talent. I think that's the perfect way of summing up what Fulham have been this season.
Yeah, that one honestly hurts me.
Right, yeah, you know, they had such a promising summer, you know, bring in the likes of John Michael Sarri, who was superstar at Nice, Sergi Rico, who did really well for Sevilla, even Callum Chambers, who kind of had almost a renaissance as a center defensive midfielder, which I mean, you can obviously attribute all that to Scott Parker. And I think you should play that. I think you guys kind of found your new CDM at Arsenal, but
yeah, our loans did well this season, honestly. We're getting some new players.
Well, then the likes of obviously the hype around Ryan Sessegnon and Mitrovic coming back after having a great season in the championship. What do you guys have any words for what happened here? Is it just kind of too much, you know, not enough continuity? You know, maybe were they wrong to get rid of Jokanović so early, or they kind of, or maybe they just brought in the wrong manager with Ranieri? What do you guys think?
I think they fired Jakupović way too soon. I think that was, I think he was the right manager actually. And now they have a good manager, but it's too late. And then I think they had some bad defensive issues and it wasn't fixed. And so they paid the price. Because they always, especially at the beginning of the year, they look so good every game, but then they would lose every game. And it's just like,
well, and their thing was exactly defense, which John famously said they had probably the best defense of any championship side being promoted.
I forgot. But... Tell them what the partnership was. Tell them what the partnership was. But... Remind all the 19 listeners what the partnership was that John said was so legendary.
Tim Ream, who has been at fault for most of their goals this season. And
Jesus Christ,
it wasn't even say a second one, I don't think.
you said someone else. Oh, it was gonna be, was it Callum Chambers?
Or who? Oh, yeah, it was gonna be Callum Chambers because they don't really have, I mean, they ended up playing Dennis Adoy a lot there too. But I was also gonna ask, were they wrong to not bring in another center back? Let's shoot that over to Ryan.
Were they wrong? I mean,
I wanted to hear what John had to say about
this. Yeah, let's hear what John has to say
about it. Y'all are assholes.
This is the time John wants to forget. That's what I have to say about that. I don't know. Fulham's interesting, though.
It was around all the hype that, you know, they were going to be, you know, one of the better championship sides in recent years to come up. And since Tim Ream was defender of the year last year in the championship, I figured that, you know, he'd have a good year. But I guess he shit the bed real hard.
It was Maxi LeCharmont, LeMarchand. The one John said.
Wait, it's not that you said it, John. It was that you were so convinced by how you were so serious. That's what was hilarious.
All right, I'm going to defend John here.
You can't blame him, though, because they're like, my feeling is they're kind of like West Ham of recent years, where they bring in these players, they're like kind of hyped, and then they just don't perform well together for whatever reason it is. Maybe it's coaching, maybe it's just adjusting to the Premier League, but it's the idea that like they bring in all these good players and they just don't gel well together at first.
Right, yeah, I'm going to defend John and say... I think they were going to be able to be a really good defense because they weren't going to have to worry about, people attacking them because they played such nice flowing attacking football. That was their identity. When you're in the championship, you can get away with that. You can get away with people missing chances or people not taking their chances against them. But obviously in Premier League, that happens rarely. And so you saw them start to get battered because of that. But it wasn't so much that they they obviously needed new center backs. Tim Ream just looks out of place and I don't think is a Premier League defender, unfortunately. But I think it also would have helped if they would have had some continuity, maybe bringing in another someone who can help out Kevin McDonald, who was kind of one of their mainstays in midfield last season, or even helping out like Dennis Odoi by bringing in someone more solid than Le Marchand. And the fact that, think about, they had their whole team moved every game, even under Jurcanovic. So.
Yeah, they just couldn't figure it out.
Right.
And it's kind of like West Ham. I agree with Ryan. But, like, I feel like they would have only done that one season. Like it would have been, like, this season, had they stayed up, it wouldn't have bought, like, a jillion players. I think they would have stayed with what they got and bought what they needed, rather.
Right. It was, I think it was just a fact of they bought a bunch of what they needed because they needed to fill out the squad, but they forgot. They figured they'd be okay not bringing in an extra center back, thinking maybe Callum Chambers could be the guy to help him out, but. It's a sad day to see him go.
Hopefully they'll be back next year. Hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
Norwich and Leeds look like pretty good teams.
Right. Well, yeah, Norwich definitely looks like a great team.
That's weird to hear again.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for that because they were so bad the first time they came back.
But I still don't think to this day. I don't think Norwich were as bad as Burnley are right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm mad that Burnley's not getting
really right. I would rather see Cardiff
stay up.
Stay up than Burnley right now.
I like Cardiff way more now than Burnley.
Oh, me too.
Cardiff would be the worst team this season. And they aren't the worst team this season.
I feel bad for Sean Dyche too, because he can't leave that job.
Why not?
He leaves, is going down.
Does no one else want? I mean, people want him, I guess, but he's treated like a king. There's no reason for him to leave. Anything he wants, he gets pretty much.
Well, he could if one of the managers, like, they want to upgrade managers, they might hire one of the promoted teams. Might hire him.
Maybe, but Norwich have Daniel Farke, who's been doing really well. The German guy used to be I believe he was one of Klopp's old assistants at Dortmund.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think you're right. Oh, nice.
Yeah. He's been doing really well with them, and so that last spot, what do you guys think? I mean, we obviously all want Burnley to go down, but currently Cardiff are on 28 points, and then Brighton, Southampton, and Burnley are all on 33 points, all with extremely low negative goal differences. And then Newcastle aren't that far, but I think they're the safest, obviously. I think it really is a four-liter race here. Do you guys see Cardiff maybe putting a string of performances together? They obviously were unlucky, as we mentioned earlier, against Chelsea. Ryan, you want to take a stab at that?
Okay, so they have to play Burnley. Their next game is against Burnley. If they lose that game, I think they're done.
Cardiff,
Somehow win, if they beat Burnley, then they have to play Liverpool and Man United, which are the two hardest games. Burnley would still have to play Chelsea, Arsenal, Man City, and Everton. So I think if Cardiff can beat Burnley, they're well within the rights to take that 17th spot. But well, I think if they draw or lose against Burnley, they're done. The 5 points is really hard.
Right. Brighton,
I think everyone. That's true. They're all 33 points. I think because they are a game behind, I think they'll be okay. I think they have a game in hand. I mean,
that, yeah. And I think they have more. Them and Southampton, I really think, have much more talent than the other two.
Yeah, I agree with that as well.
Sure. Southampton is solid next year.
So you said last year.
So. I mean, they're looking better under Hazelnut.
I like Hasan.
Hasan Hill. I love Hasan Hill. I'm like obsessed with him. I
think that's Hazelnut. The name of the pod. They're looking better under Hazelnut. Oh my god. Yeah, no, Hasan Hill was great. They obviously just need a little bit of I don't know if they'll get it, but they need a little bit of a refresh, squad refresh.
He kind of did when he came in by just like playing everybody.
Well, yeah, play the youth, playing everyone. But dude, I still don't understand why getting rid of Cedric was allowed.
That was a crime. But Bender now is starting and he's playing really well. I just saw an article about him too.
I think the biggest thing is it just lack like That's a good striker.
Hey, but hey.
I'm gonna bash Charlie Austin. Oh, I was gonna say Charlie Austin. Oh, good.
Charlie Austin and Shane Long.
No, Shane Long has been one of my favorite players for a long time, honestly. Actually, I used to love Shane Long back in the day. Yeah, I used to like him a lot. Like,
he's very hard working.
Back when he was on West Brom and Hull, I liked him a lot.
He's the Walcott of Southampton.
I think he's the worst in Walcott. In that respect, if you're gonna compare him to Walcott, like, I think now he's Walcott. Yeah, he's Walcott now.
Or is he
not
Wilshire?
Arsenal Walcott. He's Everton Walcott.
Wilshire
just got hurt every time.
It's a Wilshire of like the younger generation.
The younger generation? Okay, well, someone that keeps getting hurt like every single game.
Is it Ward Prowse?
No, he's played a lot.
He's playing well right now.
I love Ward Prowse.
You have to find someone who gets hurt like every few weeks.
I can't think of any other.
I can't think of anything there.
Maybe I'm trying to go through all the teams here. Maybe Lewis Cook. 2 seasons, been hurt a couple times.
See, a couple times is too few. It's got to be six times.
True. Yeah, that's true. I don't think there is right now.
Well, sir, it was like ankles like breaking every game.
There might not be, okay.
No, well, no one's been plagued that bad.
No one's been plagued.
Luckily, no one's been plagued.
Reese Oxford.
Well, Reese Oxford's doing okay right now. And was he on Augsburg right now? Not doing too bad.
Okay.
But speaking of former past favorite players, to wrap up the pod, we're going to do a little bit of a question here. Answer as truthfully or as dishonestly as you want. But who is your favorite player, I guess in the Premier League we're going to go with, that is not on your club? So obviously you guys are Arsenal fans.
Really?
So
okay.
I mean, it doesn't have to be Premier League. Let's do one Premier League, one abroad. How about that?
I was thinking like way back wait, is he still on the team now? I think so. No, he's on Derby now. I like Tom Huddleston when he moved to Hull.
What?
Like after Tottenham, I was like, oh, actually.
Very
like
niche.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Very niche.
I guess. What?
I just liked him on Hull. I thought he was a really hard worker, a good captain for that team. I don't know. He's a strong dude.
All right, do you have someone abroad off the top of your head?
Oh, wait, if I just look, it'd be Peter Crouch, probably.
What's his modern? Whoa.
Well, he still plays. He's actually become like a cog for Derby.
Yeah.
All right, so it's Tom Huddleston on Derby.
Okay, well, I would choose Peter Crouch if it's Premier League.
What?
Peter Crouch.
My pro club's character is basically Peter Crouch.
Yeah, FIFA pro club.
I don't really have an abroad one. I'll think about that.
Okay, we'll come back to you on the abroad. Tyler, do you have yours?
Actually, I want to hear John's first, honestly.
All right, John, go ahead.
Oh, man. I wasn't done. Okay.
All right, so I'll do mine first.
I have an abroad one, too. I'm good.
I can't. All right, Ryan, finish. Go.
It's Santi Cazorla.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Kind of cheating, but whatever. Villarreal, technically.
Great season.
All right, John.
All right, my abroad, I'm gonna go with Lewandowski.
All right, Robert Lewandowski. For the player of the month in the Bundesliga. Very good, very good.
Yes.
Is there a particular reason, or is it just because you like Bayern?
Well, part of it has to do with Bayern because now, but I've always liked Lewandowski because I feel, I don't know, I just like the way he plays, and to me, he's like the complete striker. He can do it with his head, he can do it with his right, do it with his left. We saw it against Wolfsburg, fucking 5 goals in 9 minutes.
He's done with his chest before.
Chest, knees, back heels. Can score free kicks. He's literally, for me, the complete striker.
You know what's funny about him is he's one of those guys who like accidentally scores those weird goals. He'll just like fall down and it'll hit him on like the kneecap and it'll go in. Oh, sorry. And he'll go away, do his little X celebration. he's definitely one of those players. I mean, I love Lewandowski, but he's not my favorite. But how about Premier League?
This one's tough. Tim Ream. Hang on. All right, if I were to go Premier League.
Oh wait. I just thought of the modern day Wilshire. Who? Sorry, Jonjo Shelvey.
Jonjo, no. Oh, I guess maybe now.
He gets hurt
every
year.
He does get hurt a lot. No.
And he has so much potential.
Yeah, I would take that. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Keep going, John.
Wow. Okay. This one's tricky. I think I'm gonna go along the same lines as Ryan with this one and his Premier League pick. I'm gonna try and go with somebody off of my pro club character.
No.
And West I'm Sanchez. Going to go with
Luke Shaw.
You know what? I'm gonna say it. Marcus Rashford.
Oh, okay, that's a good one. Young.
Marcus Rashford.
Young, cheaper old lad. It's not Tim Ream. It's actually Michael Bradley for the the 1 year he played for, Everton?
No. Right? No.
Where was it? Donovan was Everton.
What are we talking about?
Michael Bradley, when he was in the Premier League.
Oh, I don't even remember.
Fulham? Can't remember. Anyway, Tyler. Wait, is there a reason for Rashford?
He's
like his potential?
Aston Villa, that's who it was.
I've always liked Marcus Rashford, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Since he broke out at United, since his breakout and his debut at United, I don't know. There's just something about him.
Do you want to take penalties like him?
Yeah, they go in the back of the net.
They go in the back of the net.
I want to score free kicks like him.
Oh, there you go. All right. Now, Tyler, last one.
All right, so Premier League player is...
Oh, James Maddison.
Future Premier League player of the season. No, you can't take it back. You said Tom Huddleston. It's all...
That's
a Peter Crouch, actually.
I have a lot of them. You can like a lot of people.
Two very great, fantastic picks.
You can like a lot of people.
Well, mine is the Premier League Player of the Year and third place Ballon d'Or.
Oh, Virgil van Dijk.
Finalists at the end of the year. Virgil van Dijk.
Virgil, oh my god. Virgil, daddy.
Don't be jealous, man.
Daddy buys me clothes and a new car.
Is there a reason you like Virgil so much, or is it just kind of like?
Yes,
he's good looking.
He's good looking. He's got the man bun. Yeah, remember
he's
that.
Got the man bun. He's daddy. He is an incredible marker. He makes his defensive partners look way better than they are. He's a crazy good passer. He scores goals. Weirdly enough,
as many as he should though.
Huh?
As many as he should. He's a 6'4 guy always in the box.
But he's a threat. He's always
a
threat.
No, he's a threat, but he's only scored, like, 4? 3?
Still pretty freaking good.
But he jumps so high, and he just misses.
Okay, Luke Shaw, you're going to cover Virgil van Dijk. It's like, okay.
Okay. All you have to do is, like, jump a little bit.
He jumps, and he's like, what are you doing?
Shoot.
Shit. He's got, like,
he's also pretty fast.
8 inches on me. Shit.
He's got 8 inches on me. Like what was it, Danny Rose covering who was it? I can't remember now. He was covering someone huge and it's Liverpool. I think it's Fabinho.
It's like, what do you do?
Right.
Oh. Not even fair.
Sorry.
Like just jump and hope that my head like kinda gets in the way.
Right. All right. Abroad, Tyler. I'm surprised you didn't say Pogba actually.
Pogba was my second pick. I was bouncing between. I love Pogba too, so
all right.
But my number one, my other pick is actually a joint pick.
No.
Because of how their impact has been on their team this year. And
I know you're going to say, you're watching that much.
I do. Christoph Piatek and Paqueta.
Lucas Paqueta.
AC Milan.
Yeah.
I love them. They're going to be, I hope they'll be there forever. Bring Milan back to their glory years.
They're an incredible team up. Piatek's basically the new Lewandowski, but faster and probably going to be better than him.
Well, no, Lewandowski, when he was younger, was super quick. Everyone forgets, but he was very quick.
Yeah, he was just older.
Powerful, too, which I don't think Piontek quite has yet, but he's also just, you know, he's young. He's 23.
Yeah, he's a savage and a half. Paqueta's creative. They're always comparing to Kaká. It's probably true.
A little more physical than Kaká, but
yeah, he's pulling all those strings. He's already got a cap for Brazil. I mean,
two caps. Yeah, three caps this past international break. He got all three.
His Wikipedia page says four caps.
What?
Hashtag the future.
I said his Wikipedia page says four caps.
Oh, maybe four then. Maybe he had one before that. But he definitely had the last three games.
That's my joint pick. Also, okay. I'm an AC Milan fan, so I love.
Shocker. To
see that they're buying smart. So.
Shocker. All right, I'll go real quick and we'll wrap this up. I think inside the Premier League, there's a lot of names that come to mind for me, but I think the best one, my favorite has to go to I was gonna say Rashford before John did.
But maybe I think bandwagoner.
No, bandwagon. I think I have to go with Kevin De Bruyne.
Wow, typical.
Typical? Is that too typical? You want me to do more? I'll go more. More
well, niche. I said Tom Huddleston, man.
You want me to do more niche?
Give me a niche one, yeah.
James Maddison later on because you realize it was a bad choice.
No, it's I said Peter Crouch. So James Madison's good.
James Madison is good.
I like
James
him.
Real good. Yeah, he's good. Star, you can't call him out.
Like, I'd like to play like James Madison. That's like my play style, in my opinion.
That's your play style?
Says the guy who's a striker on pro clubs.
I think you're more of an engine. I don't know. I think, Ryan, you're kind of the guy, just, you know, the chipmunk. You kind of go through.
I guess myself as a more creative Ramsey. I like to get forward and score, but I also like three passes. Ramsey. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You're international.
Wait, you know, if you want me to go, I'll go more niche here. I'll go more niche real quick. Actually, I hate to say it, but I really, really liked Aaron Ramsey. I really rate him.
I did too.
I think he's the perfect fit for almost any system in the world. I think he's going to do great things at Juve.
Yeah, he's had a really good season this year, too.
Yeah, and he deserves it. And Arsenal are going to lose 10 points every year now because he's not going to be there. So I think Aaron Ramsey is my pick. My official pick. Abroad, it's got to be Griezmann. Antoine Griezmann. That's the boy.
That was my second pick.
The legend. I was going to pick Paqueta and Piontek, but you got them. So yeah, I love Griezmann. He's my boy. Him or Dybala, but mostly Griezmann. I think Griezmann just tops him. Obviously, the legend himself won the World Cup. I just love everything he does. The way he runs down channels, the way he can hold up play, even though he's 5'7". The way he can trick a defender off his, get him off balance. He's basically two-footed. I know he uses his left a lot, but he can strike with his right if he needs to. So, yeah, I think Griezmann's my guy.
You know who I've always liked? Mohamedou Diarra.
What?
Yeah, that's pretty random. But when I first started watching soccer, he was one of the first players I started like watching a lot.
He doesn't even play on PSG anymore.
He was on Real. When he was on Real, that's when I like got into soccer.
Yeah, he's on PSG, isn't he?
No, he's retired.
No, that's Lassana Diarra.
Oh, I'm in Lassana Diarra, my bad.
No, this is like old Diarra.
We're gonna have to do honestly, we're going to have to do like a ranking of like a top favorite in each position around the world. That'd be fun. But
yeah.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be a fun little one. Maybe as the season winds down, we have less to talk about. But for now, thank you for joining us as always. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Unfit Pundit. You can find Ryan at R. Delmati.
No, it's changed. It's actually at Stellar Sun now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's Stellar Sun.
_Sun.
There you go. On Instagram and Twitter. You can find Tyler at Tyler_Kaufman22 on Instagram and Twitter. You can find John at J_Byrd95 on Twitter, and he doesn't really use his Instagram, do you?
I don't really use any social media anymore.
That's true. Well, you can still find him there. He'll be there. You can follow him. I mean, you can find me at @AtopTomUnderscore on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you for joining us. Any final words about Tim Ream?
Yes. Well, no, not about Tim
Ream. Yeah, Tim Ream.
It's John.
I'll be posting more on social media here soon. I'm actually, my work schedule is starting to free up a little bit. So I'll actually be able to do things and be able to post about things other than work.
There you go.
Also, check out twitch.tv/StellarSun. I play a lot of games, League of Legends, and a variety of games.
Borderlands 3?
I hope so.
Also, closing out, Ryan Gregory Dalmati.
That's my name.
Suck my ass.
Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.
My pleasure to attend.